We normally recess straight to our standing committees. We have a large group today again, and I wonder how many people are here for the availability and utilization study. I see a show of hands, 1, 2, 3, 4, for the annual budget. Those are in the first, okay. You can't hear me? Okay, I was asking how many people were here for the availability and utilization study, and I got 4 or 5 hands, and for the budget, I got 2 or 3 hands. How many are here for Oscar Grant? Okay. Then I think what I'm going to do then, with that in mind, we'll move the item 7, the general discussion and public comment. We'll move up to the next item of business, so that we can move ahead with the folks who would like to speak on item 7, those that raise their hands in the back. So if you get the blue slips in, and we'll get started so that we can hear new information. I've got a couple already. Dr. Ramona Tosco, followed by Diana M.
I hear you.
Ramona Tosco, followed by Diana M. Please, let's hold it to 3 minutes so that we can hear everyone today.
Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Your microphone's working better than mine.
I think so. I'm wondering whether or not, in the interest of our objective discussion of the board's response to the lawsuit, and in light of the fact that I've been informed this morning that there are no copies available to the public of what the response was, that someone on the board read out loud to us what the board response was.
We are actually...
Oh, General Counsel, please.
Sorry. Thank you. We are actually running many copies right now. It will be several minutes before the copy machine can...
Then I'd like to reserve my comments until that's available. Thank you.
All right. Diana M., here we go. Thank you.
Good morning. I am Oscar Grant's godmother, and I am going to reserve my comments as well until we can have that copy read to us as well. And I think it's very important that the board should have been prepared to have these copies. This is not an issue that's not going to go away, so I'm going to keep my comments until the copy comes out and is read to us by one of the board members.
All right, next I have Jack Bryson while we're waiting. Do you want to wait till later also? Okay, go right ahead then. Thank you.
How you doing? My name is Jack Bryson. I'm the father of 2 young men that were with Oscar Grant the night he was murdered by your board police and along with their friends and best friends. And they were arrested and they were treated foul by your police officers. And then the attitude of the police officers, why they were arrested and held in your jail. And so Saturday, the instigator of the whole murder, Tony Perrone, he had the nerve to say, do you guys got a copy? Did you see it?
What paper's that on? What's that on of? Bay Area News Group, okay.
This officer of yours, Tony Perrone, who started this whole incident, then he comes back. In the lawsuit response filed by the U.S. District Court, Bart also claims that the Bart officers were acting in self-defense. Had they not responded with force against Oscar Grant, the former grocery store worker would have beaten them. The lawsuit states, Oscar Grant willfully, wrongfully, unlawfully made an assault upon defendants and would have beaten and bruised and ill-treated them. If the defendants had not immediately defended themselves, the lawsuit states. Oscar Grant is 5'9", 175 pounds. Tony Perrone is about 6 feet, 220. Officer Mesley is about 6'5", 230, 240. If you're going to accept this lie, then you're not doing your investigation, because this young man started the whole thing, and now he's claiming that he was scared for his life. How do you think those young men felt when they were beaten and didn't know when they got off that BART train what they were going to run into? Just like he wanted to go home too. This turned into a nightmare, not by these young men, by Officer Tony and Peroni. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sam Max. Oh, you ready?
I'm told that there are several copies of the full legal response available, which is a little bit too lengthy for us to discuss. Is there someone here who can give a summary position and state that on behalf of the BART board? Is there someone?
All right. Look,
legal counsel?
Did you want to start, Dorothy?
Let me provide just a very brief comment on the answer as it regards the ultimate question of the shooting, and defer to counsel for any more specific discussion that may be appropriate about how an answer to a civil lawsuit in federal court is structured and some of the legal requirements.
I just want to say this. Can you, number one, speak up loud?
Yes, I certainly can. Thank you.
And number two, we would just want to make certain that rather than give us an explanation for why you responded as you did, we'd like for someone to read the summary of what you did.
Well, let me start with the just overview. It is not a summary of the legal brief that answer that was filed. But last Friday, BART filed an answer to the $50 million civil lawsuit that had been filed by Attorney John Burris on behalf of the Grant family. At the same time as we are answering that lawsuit, as we are required to do under the federal court schedule, we are also pursuing mediation with the Grant family's attorney in an attempt to bring resolution and closure to this matter as quickly as possible. Our answer was based on the evidence available to us at this time, including statements by witnesses and videos that support the belief that Officer Mesley made a terrible and tragic mistake while trying to subdue Oscar Grant.
Let's hear the answer.
Firing his gun instead of his taser. The evidence supports that there was a fight on the train, that there was reason to detain Grant and others. But as our attorney, Dale Allen, has emphasized in numerous comments that he made Friday with the press upon filing the lawsuit, we do not know why Mesley fired his weapon. And that is the broad overview of the answer that was filed last Friday.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that into the record. The reason why I've asked that be done is because there is always the presumption by the press and even by the board and perhaps even by the public that we are just general public, out of control, operating exclusively out of emotion. You have given the facts of why you responded as you did, and we are still troubled by the fact that visual evidence has been misconstrued once again in the favor of law enforcement officers. Now, we have tried to be respectful of this process. We have come to you in good faith on more than one occasion. And we have done this with a degree of dignity because we are taxpaying citizens of the city of Oakland. And what you have done is issued a response that insults us once again. We have members of the Grant family who are being re-victimized by this callous disregard for the obvious truth. Many years ago, the comedian Groucho Marx had a wonderful line where he described a man who was caught in bed with another woman in his home, and that when the wife came home, he said to her, "Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?" And what you are asking us to do is to conclude that our eyes are lying to us. We are not crazy. We are not fools. We are not blind. And we are empowered. And you can either work with a new spirit of integrity, or you can continue business as usual, which is what your response suggests. We are not interested in the legal process and the strategy of the legal process that brought you to the point that you would respond as you did. It is clear that not only did Johannes Messerli shoot unprovoked in the back and kill Oscar Grant, but that Peroni and several other officers were complicitous in this process, and that there was a lack of regard for human life. The videos do not lie. There was no effort. I'm a medical doctor. There was no effort to even bend down, check his carotid pulse to determine if this man was still alive. There was no immediate call on the radio for 911 because it was clear that this man would likely die or was seriously injured. For that alone, there is some complicity on the part of the officers of BART. That you would find no guilt is problematic at best. Now, I'm saying it as nicely as I can, but I assure you that the public will not be as reserved. You've been given an opportunity. If this is what you want to do, continue on this vein. I would advise you, it's the wrong path. You've chosen wrongly, and the consequences will be grave.
Thank you. Sam Maxwell.
I am Oscar Grant's godmother. I have watched Oscar Grant to grow up to be a fine young man and to be a fine father and to be a future husband to his fiancée. It is heartbreaking to sit here and look at every face that is sitting on this board, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I look at each and every one of you. I wonder, do you sleep good at night? Well, I hope so, because you get paid very well to sit up here and support all the lies. Yeah, you come together collectively in a group. Let me applaud you. Come together collectively, good. But do you go home individually? You may be a Christian. You may not be a Christian. Do you go home and pray? You go home and reevaluate yourself individually and ask yourself a question that you're supporting a murderer. And you're coming with these stupid excuses, ignorant excuses for all of you to have degrees and sit on a board. You went to college and you could sit there with your faces and your heads hold up high. Why a mother is at home crying, using her tears for her water to wash her face. Why a four-year-old daughter named Tatiana is upset because her daddy did not return home from going to San Francisco that was announced that public transportation was the safe way to go. Well, evidently, BART is not safe. Evidently, BART is not safe. Well, all of you are cashing your paychecks with Oscar Grant's blood. So when you pay your mortgage and you pay your PG&E and your cell phone that you like to chipper-chabber on, the same cell phone that caught the true facts and the evidence of Oscar Grant being murdered, and you're paying your bills with his blood, but you can't stand individually for what is true and for what is right. But if you're comfortable with that, that's okay for me. That's okay for the mother. That's okay for the Grant family, because every one of you is going to have to give an answer and account, because we are a Christian family. We're praying and we're asking our God, which his name today is not Jesus, but his name is justice for us. And we're submitting him on each and every one of you. We're asking our God, which is our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We're asking him to go to your homes each and individually and collectively to begin to convict your hearts and minds that you will put your jobs down and stand for what is true and right. You've seen the video. Why are you sitting there lying and putting this attorney to lie? We're not going to settle for not one red dime. We're going to go to the end. We had money. We had integrity and we had love and we had a young man named Oscar Grant, but you took something away from our family that money cannot replace. So you can offer, you can say that he was the cause of his own debt, but you all are liars because you're agreeing with it and you're not bold enough or woman enough or man enough to stand up and say, I will not sit with this board. But you're a human being. A dog gets better treatment than that. Even a pit bull, if it goes out and bite a child, it gets seen to. But did Oscar Grant get seen to on the platform? No. No. I hope you can go home and make your dinner. I hope you can go home and pick up your paper. I hope you can go home and take your bubble baths. I hope you can go home and get in your vehicles and fill up your cars with gasoline and have a clear conscience. I hope you can go home and do that. We were looking for a subject, a person right now that killed an innocent child and Tracy, not to bring that to the table. They can't find a murderer, but our murderer is at home eating and drinking and cradling his child. The murderer is standing in front of us, and we're not arresting him. We're letting him to eat and drink, something that Oscar Grant cannot do. And every other officer that was on that platform, they're doing the same thing. They helped committed that crime, and it's murder. Bart is murder. Until you stand up and come in integrity, you need to stand up as individuals, and you need to come together collectively. This ain't no slavery. That officer lynched Oscar Grant out there. My godson was like this. Take a look at it. Shot in the back. Rolled over.
And dragged.
And you want me not to be angry today? He did everything that the officer asked him to do. Every single thing. And you're sitting there with your lipstick, your makeup, your perfume, your fine clothing.
We know that you have the capacity for compassion. We know you do.
I'm sorry, doctor.
Let me finish.
I'm sorry. Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish, please. No confusion. You haven't shown us that you have the capacity as a family. I'm sorry. And pity you all. Pity you all. Until we see justice is served, then maybe we can have faith in you, but right now we don't.
You all have the capacity. You have the capacity for compassion for four police officers. All of you were present at those funerals. You were at the funerals for four white law enforcement officers. You did not drag your feet to be present at those funerals. Your officers were present at those funerals. You were quick to issue statements in compassion for the loss of their lives. We know that you have the capacity for compassion. You have chosen not to demonstrate it for this African-American man. You chose to target blacks. Your police officers have chosen to profile. And they've acted on their profiling, and you have witnessed it firsthand. And you have chosen to deny what your eyes have seen. And then you've insulted us again and re-victimized the family. And you have re-victimized the African-American community and the communities of all color who stand for justice. Now, my sister Diane has tried very hard to compel you and your heart. Maybe you're heartless. Maybe you're heartless. Maybe you think the laws protect you, but you can't run from the truth. And if you run from the truth, it does not cause us to stop running after you. We will go after each and every one of you individually in lawsuits. We will make certain that you will not be reelected. We will tarnish your reputations because they deserve to be tarnished. Each and every one of you will be held accountable for your failure to stand up with a statement of integrity for what was right in front of your eyes. That's all it took, honesty and integrity, and you have failed the test.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam Maxwell. Thank you. Oh, that's Christoph, yes.
No, that's not me, actually.
Well, it's not?
No. No Justice, No Bard is the community.
Oh.
And this is where we flip the script on you. This is where it doesn't become a board of people listening to a single person. It becomes our group. Everybody who's here for Justice for Oscar Grant, stand up. And everybody who's here for Justice for Oscar Grant, come forward.
Where?
Come forward to the podium. It's not going to be anymore you picking out individuals and listening to us one at a time. It's going to be us picking you out as individuals and shaming you into doing what's right.
One of our demands is that the general manager be fired.
Dorothy Duggar, right there.
We know that you know the truth. You have seen all of the evidence that Bart has confiscated to try to cover up this crime. And you know the truth. And you have been complicit. The chief of police, the chief of the Bart police, G, needs to be fired too. That is another one of our demands.
Can we call the chief of Bart Police up here right now? Chief G? He's standing right there. We'd like to speak to you directly, Chief G. It appears as though you're hiding behind some sort of a barrier. Can you come speak to the public? Can you come speak to the public? We're asking you as a human being.
Let's speak to the board, please. And he's right there. He's going to hear you.
Chief G said, quote, this happened on my watch. So we want to ask you personally what took place on your watch. We pay you to protect and serve, and you're hiding behind a barrier right now. Come talk to the public. We're calling you out until you come up here. Chief G, come to the front.
No, he's...
Chief G, come to the front.
You're obviously under That's the fine. Illusion that you're running
this
thing.
I do work for the public.
Chief G, come to the front.
He can fix the music just as well as you. You know what?
Why is it that the chief of police of Bart that said, quote, this took place on my watch, is hiding like a spineless coward behind a barrier? Come confront the people who want to simply ask you some questions. We are not asking for anything revolutionary. We just want basic justice. Chief G, please come to the front.
This is a public comment, period. You are entitled to a public comment.
This is a public comment, period, and you may speak. I understand that. I called on you to
speak. Come to the front.
Why don't you fire him?
Huh? Let's
please come to the front. Chief of Police G said, quote, this took place on my watch. We want to speak to the person directly who this took place under. A man was executed. He wasn't murdered. He wasn't shot. He was executed. His life was deemed insignificant, and we want to talk to the chief of police that was there. Chief G, please come to the front. For the 18th time, and I am counting, you are hiding behind a barrier. Please come to the front.
I think I'll just make it worse. You know, this is...
This is a BART board meeting. Maybe you can request a meeting on.
He's the BART chief of police, sir.
Yes, and this is. Maybe you can request a meeting with him.
You can request that he sit next to you.
It's not. This is not the forum. This is. We're here for an agenda. We're here to hear public comments. This is not about.
This is our meeting at this point.
Excuse me. This is the public comment section. This is the public comment section of the meeting, which is designed for the public to address the board.
So we have it on the record. We have on the record.
You're afraid to talk to him outside. Is that right?
No, we'll talk to him outside.
No, hold on, hold on. We don't want to get shot. We don't want to get executed, okay?
Let's go. All right.
Okay, we're going to move on. For the record, we would like the record to show that Chief G, Chief of Police, has no spine and does not want to confront the public, for the record. And this is not us being disrespectful. This is us speaking the truth. Now, I'm here representing the community. Everyone behind me agrees with everything we're doing. Tony Peroni is my focus here. Officer Tony Peroni instigated and perpetuated a series of events that led up to the demise of Oscar Grant. Let's be very clear and precise about what took place that night. Tony Peroni, who you now have released a statement saying he was in fear for his life.
Nonsense.
He was in fear for his life.
That's sick. He got the gun.
Liar. Armed liar.
Who y'all think y'all dealing with?
Let's
continue. Tony, hold on. Tony Peroni got on scene, assaulted about 8 men, Latinos and blacks, and then once Oscar Grant was detained by several other officers, and he got done hog-tying and lassoing 2 other black men. He got up off of that man and went up to Oscar Grant and viciously and violently struck him in the face 6 times, causing blunt head trauma. And as the video so clearly shows, Grant fell to the ground. Now, is this the action of a man who was in fear for his life, as you so now state?
Nonsense.
No, not at all.
Nonsense.
Write that shit, put it in the newspaper.
What we want to make clear, why is it that no supervisor on duty was told about what took place? The supervisor on duty found out, not from Peroni, not from Messerly. They found out from a BART passenger what had taken place at the San Leandro BART station. So after Oscar Grant was executed, his life was deemed insignificant, and several of his other friends were abused. Why was nothing done about this? It wasn't called in. It's standard procedure for the BART police or any other police agency in the United States of America to call in such an incident. What did they do immediately? They started taking cell phones and iPhones, any device that looked like it might have had the potential to capture the corrupt act that took place.
Cover up. Cover up.
In vain.
Cover up.
They knew what they were doing.
We have to understand something here. Tony Peroni must be charged. Tony Peroni is right now on administrative leave, which corresponds to us as a paid vacation. And you sit up here, Mr. Blaylock, Mr. Fang, the coward, Chief of Police, Chief G, and yes, you are a spineless human being with no redeeming qualities. You have just proven that to us right now by not stepping up and handling the situation as a man. We pay you to deal with these types of situations, and you are hiding behind a barrier, you spineless coward. You're a coward. You're a coward.
Let's continue. Continue.
We're speaking to you as human beings. We need to call out Dorothy Duggar as well. Dorothy Duggar sits over to my left-hand side, sitting there with her smug smile. We have to focus on a few things here. You can wear your suits. I guess it feels good to wear your suit. I mean, you get to wear a suit and get a 6-figure salary, and everybody calls you sir. The American dream, right? A man was executed. Tony Peroni, as I said before, instigated and perpetuated a series of events that led up to the demise of Oscar Grant. Let me show you what took place.
Tony Peroni hogtied a black man with several other Latino men, blacks and Latinos. He hogtied him. He had him like this, hogtied him. Then he got up, and you say he's afraid. He rushed over to Grant and hit him 1, 2, 3, 4. Grant falls to the fucking ground.
and then Measurely puts a bullet in his back. Mm. He takes his gun out of his holster, gets into a shooting stance.
Make it plain, brother. Make it plain.
He looks around, and he puts a bullet in his back.
Make it plain.
And now Bart
make it plain.
Murder!
He did
not reach for it. You said it's an accident.
Let's keep some order here. This is now, and we need to have some order, or we're going to cancel the meeting.
That's the order of the day.
All we're asking for is basic justice. Once again, I'm going to say this clearly. We are not asking for anything revolutionary. A man was murdered and executed, and you sit here trying to act as though it's not a big deal. That was our brother. We are not going to stop until we see justice. And Officer Tony Peroni held accountable for what took place that night, and Chief G fired.
Peroni
should be held
accountable. All right, next. Tony Coleman is another speaker.
There's one more thing I'd like to say.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
There's one more thing. Like, why Officer Tony Peroni was doing all this action, excuse my cussing, he told the young men, you don't fuck with the BART police. You don't fuck with us. Then he also said, when my son rose up, he asked him to call an ambulance. He told my son to shut the fuck up. We ain't calling shit.
That's a quote.
That's it.
That's Tony Peroni telling them.
Hold on.
How you gonna kill?
What did he say again? Hold on. Call 911. Call 911.
He asked him, call an ambulance. You shot my cousin. He told him, shut the fuck up. We're not calling nobody.
Hold on. Come on.
All right.
Hold
are there?
Everybody.
Let's make that clear. His son was on the platform that night.
I understood that.
And when Officer Measurely deemed it relevant and necessary to put a bullet in his back, he said, call 911, get an ambulance. And he said, shut the fuck up.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said. Yeah, we heard it several times now.
Yeah, well, that's, it's not in your lawsuit, it don't look like. I didn't see it there.
Oh. All right. Is there Tony Coleman?
Tony?
Yes.
Raise your hands if you see time to No Justice, No BART, please. Everyone who's here with No Justice, No BART, raise
so
your
I
hands.
So I can, all right.
All right, you know how this works, don't you? Do you want us here for 3 hours or do you want us here for 1 hour? You're going to hear us one way or another.
I'm trying to hear everybody.
Yeah, hear us. Let us say our piece.
Okay.
You can move on with your meeting. Don't interrupt us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
Excuse me.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because the thing is that people are here because an innocent man was shot to death by one of your officers. We have another officer right now who's on paid leave, which is a paid vacation. Our right is to sit here and protest everything that you all are doing. You all are culpable as far as being accomplices in a cover-up and the murder of an innocent man. You also have, at this point, the power to be able to do something about it.
That's the key.
Now, the thing is that people here have actually gotten together to demand another hearing. You all have actually promised more accessibility as far as being able to do hearings on evenings and weekends, which you all have not been able to do. So that is the demand at this point, to be able to sit here and be able to plan to have on, let's say, April 25th, the last Saturday of April this month, to be able to have a hearing on a weekend when you can actually have people
working
from the public, working people who can actually attend these hearings, instead of you all setting the terms and debate around this execution of Oscar Grant and the vacation of Tony Peron and the injustice that's happened so far. So that's what we're here to do today. In order to make it clear, we need another hearing, one that is open that last Saturday of the month, where we have the ability to be able to then voice our concerns and get you all to actually do something at this point. Our goal is simple. We want justice for Oscar Grant. We do not want the BART board, BART police, or any other police forces being able to instigate or perhaps influence a criminal trial that is coming up in the future. We need, at this point, accountability from you all. You all have made apologies. They're empty promises.
Right.
At this point, we need action.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was absolutely shocked. And what got me here, I've always supported this struggle, but when I saw that they were trying to justify this Peroni character, it just blew my mind. I'm one of the founders of Berkeley Cop Watch. My name is Gerald Smith, okay? Now, and therefore I've read dozens and dozens of police procedures through the years. Number one, you know, I was afraid. If he's afraid, give him, you know, get his gun and let him go take bar tokens or something or do something else. Because he shouldn't be a police, self-admittedly afraid. How you going to put an afraid person that reacts by killing folks and beating on them in a uniform behind a badge? I mean, if you're serious, if you expect to be taken serious, by his own admission, the man need to go ahead and take a walk. Now, there's another thing, though, and this is a technical matter. I don't want you people to think that I support, you know, violence by the police. But in reality, policemen are never supposed to put their hands on a citizen. And there's a reason for that. See, when I read the regulations in Berkeley and other cities that I've worked in, you know, helping working with the community, actually, real police never put their hands on a civilian or a citizen. There's a reason. Because if you go up to a citizen, you put your hands on them, next thing you know, they got your hand, next thing you know, they got your gun. So real cops, not these fakes, these idiots, these little play cowboys, real cops, no, that's why you got a stick, idiot. Now, that's from the police perspective, which shows your lack of seriousness here, to at least say he should be disciplined for not following police procedure. But the thing is, bar cops aren't real cops, we come to find out. Why do they even have guns? But lack of discipline. I'm talking about his own self-preservation. You don't come up on nobody, put their hands on, because you get the wrong person. Mr. Mixon, you might not be here no more. So you don't do that kind of, and for y'all to turn around and said, well, he was afraid, so it's all right, everything. No, it's not all right. This is madness. Now, you have a history of this, though, and I'm not talking about each individual here. I haven't studied your personal histories, but I do know a little bit about the history of Bart and our community. 1992, Gerald Hall, Cornelius' son, shot in the back by a clearly deranged, sick person. Now, it was seen y'all could have helped save that person from himself, you know, because clearly homeboy needed some counseling after he get out of jail. After he get out of jail. So what happens? Well, nothing. And then he tried to come and go at the same time. Some old nonsense just to demonstrate to the world how sick he was. That's right. Crabtree killed himself. Maybe that man needed some help. You know, y'all, this playing ostrich politics doesn't work. It's very harmful and unrealistic. When you see a disturbed person, you do something about that. And you make sure that that person cannot cause harm to anyone else or himself. In Crabtree's case, he did himself. Okay, now, let's go on. That's Gerald Hall. Now, this other case, the brother's name was Seward, right. Here's a gentleman that was experiencing a mental breakdown on public transportation. He was on the bus. People told him, will you shut up? We don't want to hear. He's mumbling to himself. He winds up at the Hayward BART station and is near the dumpster with his clothes off. Now, back to the point about this Peroni character, right? So what does the policeman do? He walks up and he puts his hands on the civilian and shakes him and says, are you all right? What's wrong with, or at least that's what he said. You know, this is his report, right? Now, stop and think. You see a man buck naked. Do I have to ask him if something's wrong? No, I'm not. Take yourself seriously. People's lives are at stake. Now, you know what happened. The fool went and put his hands on that man. Next thing you know, the man had his stick and might have, if it continued, might have, he ran, got really scared and murdered the man because he's a scared punk. A scared punk. Instead of calling for help, look, I got a problem here. Would you bring the wagon and bring a net? This guy's got to, you know, what police are supposed to do, you see. There's no excuse for this stuff. And this is your legacy. See, this is before Gerald Horn. I mean, I'm talking about Oscar Grant. I'm getting old, y'all. Give me a break here. But no, it's just true. But I'm not so old that I still can't see. I'm not blind. Right. More than once. So what we're trying to get you to see is you have a flawed legacy, but it's never too late. The reason that downtown Oakland, because we've been through this in the community. I go to all the churches and people talk to me at work. We've been talking about it. Initially, people were really taken aback by the destruction of property. But you know what? People started, once I started reading what had actually occurred and the behavior of your general manager and this so-called police chief, Mr. G, yes. Well, you know, it's disgraceful. Stop and think. Anywhere in the world, right, you're a manager. You're in charge of the police. Somebody gets killed at work. You sit down and say, come on, sit, have a seat, man. Turn on him. Okay, what happened? What happened? They didn't interview the man. And you think we're stupid? People knew that. Anger starts to boil in our community. People starting to say, well, wait, but they're trying to let him go. And understand, people have not forgotten. Only the dead are forgiven. So people have not forgotten Gerald Hall and Seward. So they say they're about to let this fool go. That's what the rumbling was in our community. Because of the way you mismanaged it from the beginning. I'm just talking common sense. You don't even ask a murderer what motivated him to kill this man, this unarmed citizen. You don't ask a question? Come on now. Listen, we're watching you now. We're watching you. So here we got a situation where our community starts to say, well, wait a minute. If they're going to let this fool go, forget, we're going to get some ass some kind of way. We're going to get something approximating justice. And unfortunately, what that means in the world today, given the level of consciousness of most people, is people going to tear some stuff up. That's what it means. Because people don't have the leadership and the organization to move on you properly and effectively. So you get these social outbursts. You are responsible for them. Understand this. Because all you had to do is interview him, put him on leave, charge him. Nobody would did that. Been the end of that. Really would have. But when people saw what you were doing, and still doing, by the way, everybody should know this. Read that the excerpts of this so-called lawsuit where they call these children. I'm sorry, I call everybody children because I'm old. But the young men that were on the podium, you know, with Oscar, call them thugs. I just happened to meet these young men yesterday at the Caravan for Justice Part 2 in Sacramento, where 400 predominantly black and Latino citizens, and it's growing, thanks to you, are gathered in front of the state house to talk about, you know, our various grievances and to begin to organize ourselves more effectively. I want to tell you something. Don't do this. It's very simple. He was wrong. He should never put his hands on a citizen. You should say that. That helps. And he should be disciplined on some level. I think fired. But to just pass over this like it never happened, this is a big mistake. And I can tell you something. If given the DA that we have, right, we already know what he's about with the Ryder's case. We already know, you know. It's very likely that there could be massive property damage. And it's not my game. I'm not into that. You know, I'm a worker. I build things. But I can understand it, though. I can almost sympathize with people just bashing windows and burning up cars, because you're going to let that out of you some kind of way. It's up to you to change course. We'll see.
My name is Kendrick Grant, and first of all, I'd like to honor the Grant family. You know what I mean? Rest in peace, Oscar Grant. I got a little story to tell before I go into where I'm from and what I do. You know, it's a cold, it's a dark night. You know what I mean? It's about 11, 12 o'clock. Everybody just getting to bed somewhere in San Ramon or Antioch, Pittsburgh, you know, one of them suburbs. And about four young men break into a house. An elderly person's house, probably around the age of Mr. Blaylock or Miss Murray, you know, who knows what they're there for. Right now, we just have a break in the entering, simple as that, maybe a robbery or whatever's going on. But, you know, the elderly person comes down to hear the noise, they get scared, either they trip and fall down the stairs or they have a heart attack, whatever is going on, the person dies. All four of those young men are now charged with murder. That's justice in the state of California. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there's about six, eight, how many BART police was on the platform that night? Eight BART police on the platform tonight, all accomplices to murder. Not even one of them is arrested or in jail right now. You know what I mean? The young men were, and one of them is dead because of that. Now, once again, my name is Kendrick Grant, and I represent an organization called One Fam. Like I said, that's justice for a black man in California. And what I'm here to talk about tonight is the people that were on the platform were all traumatized. The whole train was traumatized. The family of Oscar Grant was traumatized. I'm traumatized.
The community is traumatized.
Everybody traumatized. That's why we all here. You know what I mean? But basically, the entire community needs healing right now. You know? And this is on y'all. You know, y'all the heads of this. Y'all are also accomplices to murder. Yep. All of you. Accomplices by covering it up, by even hiring somebody that would do this. You know, you all have a responsibility in this, you know. Being a young man, I'm only 25. You know, and I had to learn my own lessons about responsibility. I have a child myself. You know, if I wasn't here, then what would he do? Feel me? You got a daughter that's left on the streets by herself without no father. You know what I mean? If your kids, if you guys weren't around for your kids, then what would your kids do? I mean, y'all might be a little bit more better off, you know what I mean? But that's even worse for us, who don't have a secure job at these times in our economy. You know what I mean? We can get fired tomorrow, just laid off. Feel me? Y'all, after this, y'all probably go to something else. Y'all got resumes, you know what I mean? Y'all privileged, y'all elite, you know what I mean? And we got to deal with this. And then, feel me, our children who might not, you know, the little girl, she don't have a father now. And she not on your status. She don't go to private school. She's stuck here, you know, in East Oakland or Hayward or West Oakland or Hunters Point or Fillmore. You know what I mean? Y'all going back to these suburbs and family. Y'all going to put your kids in Catholic schools and private schools. You know what I mean? Our kids don't have those privileges. They at least can have a father. You know what I mean? But y'all need to really look at what y'all done and make amends. Oscar Grant and his family need some justice, and this community needs some justice. You know, if it ain't no justice, then it's just us. And it's more of us than it is of y'all, so I don't think you want to go there.
Say it, brother.
You know what I mean? We need our youth programs, we need stipends, our youth programs, we need scholarships, we need something out of this, you know what I mean? We can't walk away empty-handed. Feel me? If y'all ain't gonna put nobody in jail, at least, you know, try to build something with us. Y'all don't really work with us. Y'all being discriminated against, not y'all in particular, but the BART Foundation. The foundation of BART was based on discriminating against, you know, African-American and Latino folks. Why do y'all think they got the BART running above ground in East Oakland and West Oakland, but below ground in Berkeley? Come on, that's blatant discrimination. That's blatant discrimination.
Why is that funny?
Sound pollution.
Because they didn't want it.
Because they didn't want
they
it.
Voted at the time,
we didn't
they
have
voted
a
against it.
We didn't have a
but
choice.
I was trying to hear
we didn't
hear
have a choice. Do your history. We didn't have a choice. That's social. Thank you, sir. But I'm gonna put my founder on the founder of our organization on Mr. Tony Coleman, Third Eye Movement.
Thank you.
I ain't going to speak too long because of the families here. I'm going to let them say. But y'all got an opportunity to make amends. Y'all got something to show. Y'all got an opportunity to show good faith out here. These young people out here need programs. They need training. They need to. If y'all need to open up some of this access to some of these jobs that you have here, is the BART going to keep running over people, or y'all going to be on the right track and be about justice?
Thank you. Next.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Meza Hernandez. I'm Sophina's mother. Tatiana Grant's grandmother. I am very, very, very upset and very, very disappointed in all of yous. Mrs. Ward Allen and Mrs. Sweet and this gentleman right here, no offense. But just because you have money doesn't mean that your children cannot get killed. You are a minority. Remember this, not that you don't know this, but if your child is to be caught in the wrong place at the wrong time, wearing the wrong clothes, is that it? You're dead? Is that it? My granddaughter hurts for her dad. I have to hear her say things to me all the time. Nana, is your heart broken? My heart's broken for my dad. I hear things like this all the time. The other day she tells me and my daughter, I'm mad at my dad. And I'm like, why, T? She says, because he said he was coming back and he never did. And I live with this crying all the time. She was a very happy young lady, loved her daddy, loves her mama. I don't see that sparkle anymore at all. And I'm not joking. My granddaughter cries, wakes up crying in the middle of the night. She misses her daddy. She used to sleep right here on his chest every night. She misses that. She can't sleep because she has no more comfort. My granddaughter will be raised without a father. When Father's Day comes for kindergarten, she's making a card. Who she's going to give it to? The grave site? Lucky her. Tony Perrone, he needs to be accounted.
Exactly.
Okay? He needs to be arrested. He needs to be held accountable for what he did to Oscar, as well as Messerly and everyone else on that platform. My son was up there. My daughter was downstairs, and Oscar was there. My son is traumatized. All these boys are. I call them on a daily. Hi, how are you, Mike? How are you? So-and-so, John, too. How are you all doing? All us mothers are now friends because of our kids. We're all worried about our children. Okay? These are young men that are traumatized. Don't know which way to go now. Hurting and crying all the time. Everybody is traumatized. Wanda, Oscar's mother. That poor woman. That was her only son. She raised that boy right. She is a minister. She loves the Lord and has raised Oscar in the Word of God. And now what? She's empty. This woman is crying daily and works and cries, goes to work and cries. And what a life for her. But I want justice. I want Juster. I want Perrone. Mr. Gary G or whoever you are, you need to step your butt down. And Miss Barbara Duggar or whatever her name is. They all do. Okay? I appreciate you, Miss Sweet. I appreciate you more ways than you think. Exactly. Because you are an honest woman.
Human.
Very. I am just so frustrated with all this. You guys think that, you know, the eyes off of you because you hand this over to an independent firm? No, my eyes will always be on you, and I will make sure. I will be here every time you have a meeting until something is done. And that is the bottom line.
Thank you. Thank you. Next.
You can't let Tony Perrone back into the community. You cannot.
My name is Leslie. You know, they say there are 6 degrees of separation in the world. And Oscar worked at the grocery that I always shop at. And he served me and waited on me. I didn't know him by name, but I knew his face and I knew he was a good guy. And this has touched our community in such a deep way that you all really, really need to understand. I'm a mother. I have 2 sons, 2 grown sons. And recently, I have had very, very bad dreams of my sons being shot. And I call them up in the morning and I say, are you okay? You know, because they are fine young men who I am so proud of and who our whole community is proud of. Just like I don't know Oscar Grant's mother, but I know she's proud of her son. He was a father, a young man who worked, who was responsible, just like my kids. And I have a daughter, a granddaughter, who is the same age. What would happen to that child if she lost her father? What would happen to our family and our community? You have to correct this mistake. It's been going on now for 3 months. I have it right here. I read the answer that the Barts Council prepared in response to the family's complaint. And it's a lie. You need to get a new lawyer and you need to amend this complaint and tell the truth. You have an opportunity. That's the way our legal system works. You need to fire the general manager because she is complicit in this. Dorothy Duggar has been responsible from the very beginning, along with G, the chief of police, G. They've covered it up. They've lied to the community. We have asked for this board to meet in our community. You said you would. You haven't done it. These meetings are conducted at a time when working people cannot come here. I had to take time off from work to be here. And just like everybody else who has a job had to do that. And our community is huge. And you have to come to the community and you have to speak to us and you have to address this issue. So I'm really hoping that these things will change. You do have an opportunity. It's a slim opportunity. It's not a big one because time is ticking away here and you've got to answer these charges and do the right thing. You all know what the right thing is. You know what the truth is and you have to do it and you have to stand on it. And lastly, I want to say that our families, well, my family in particular, we have not ridden on BART. We're not going to ride on BART. You know, I've been driving to San Francisco, crossing the bridge, because I don't want to get on BART. I am not safe. I don't feel safe. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable taking my little granddaughter, which I had thought about. Maybe I'd take her shopping in San Francisco to buy her Easter dress. How much fun would that be to get on the BART and go to San Francisco? But we're not doing that. I'm afraid to do that. I don't want to subject that child to witnessing what these young people who are behind me, whose parents have witnessed. So, as a member of this community, please meet our demands. Fire the general manager. Fire G. Have a public meeting where the whole community can come together and address this issue.
Thank you. Thank you. You're up.
I have a statement I prepared last night. I want to address my initial comments to the full board, BART staff present today, BART police present, every community member in attendance, and every single living, breathing human being who might hear this. I want to speak to the basic lack of humanity after Oscar Grant was shot on January 1st. That's after he was shot. Not a single police officer on the platform bothered to offer Oscar Grant medical assistance as he lay there bleeding. Not a single officer bothered to call an ambulance so that Oscar could be taken to a hospital. Not a single officer bothered to notify supervisors that an officer-involved shooting had even taken place. It was BART passengers, witnesses to the shooting, who had been deliberately sent away from the scene. It was those passengers two stations down the line in San Leandro who notified BART police supervisors that a shooting had even taken place, which unnecessarily delayed critical medical attention. In short, officers on the platform that night showed absolutely no regard whatsoever for the life of Oscar Grant, which brings me to the question I want everyone here to ask themselves. Is that what you would do if you saw someone bleeding to death right in front of you? It's a basic question to humanity. Seriously, what would you do? Is that normal or decent behavior to ignore a dying person? Is that what each one of us would expect from BART police? That if we found someone bleeding to death on a train or at a station, that we have a better chance of a passenger calling for medical help than a BART police officer? Think about it. And yet at a press conference on January 12th, BART Police Chief Jerry Gee said, and I quote, "All the other officers who responded to the incident around 2 a.m. at the Fruitvale station followed protocol, and they performed their duties in a professional manner." He stated unequivocally that they followed protocol and performed in a professional manner. And now I ask General Manager Dorothy Duggar and the BART Board, was that Chief Gee's opinion, or was he truly speaking of police protocol when passengers are shot? If it's protocol not to call for medical help or to notify supervisors, if that's what BART considers professional conduct on the part of its officers, then every last person who ever dares ride BART should be very concerned. And if that's just his personal opinion, that it's professional to completely ignore the welfare of passengers who are bleeding to death, that regardless of anything else happening after the shooting of Oscar Grant, that it's acceptable for police to not call for medical help or even notify a supervisor, then Chief Gee deserves to be fired immediately for his callous disregard of human life. He simply cannot be trusted with public safety. Furthermore, if Gee was not speaking to official BART policies regarding protocol and professionalism of BART police under his charge, yet he speaks to the media as such, he deserves to be fired for misrepresenting said BART policies. But the buck does not stop with Chief Gee. BART's first investigation into the shooting of Oscar Grant, the reason for the press conference on January 12th, did exonerate all of the officers on the platform that night. Not only did Chief Gee sign off on that internal investigation, but so did his boss, General Manager Dorothy Duggar. Despite the fact that BART was in possession of video at the time, showing Tony Peroni striking Oscar Grant and his friends before the shooting, it was not until after similar footage was broadcast on TV in late January that any investigation in the actions of Tony Peroni or other officers even began. At that time, Dorothy Duggar declared that the video broadcast on television represented, and I quote, a new allegation of unreasonable force. If Dorothy Duggar is unclear on what is reasonable and what is unreasonable force for BART police to use until it is pointed out to her by the media, then she too should be fired immediately. And if she concurs with her subordinate, Chief Gee, that all the officers on the platform acted professionally and according to protocol in their complete disregard for human life, then she deserves to be fired immediately. Neither Dorothy Duggar nor Chief Gee have seen fit to recommend any sort of discipline of the officers on the platform. Indeed, like the officers themselves, as well as Duggar and Gee, BART itself has seemed more interested in covering up, minimizing, and deflecting responsibility for the murder of Oscar Grant since the very beginning than it has been in holding accountable anyone or truly making amends. As early as January 1st, BART spokesman Jim Allison was telling the media that Oscar Grant was not restrained when he was shot, despite numerous eyewitness accounts to the contrary. Then video from the scene became public, and we all saw what a huge lie that statement from BART was. And now, while a new internal investigation is currently underway, BART is choosing to preempt it and call the shooting of Oscar Grant a tragic accident. A tragic accident. Tragic, yes, as Oscar Grant died, but not an accident. Even putting aside the fact that Tony Peroni was unnecessarily brutal with Oscar and his friends, striking them, grabbing them by the hair, pulling and pushing them to the ground, putting aside that fellow officer Marisol Domenici threatened to tase Oscar and his friends in the face, and even putting aside that Johannes Meserle chose to use a weapon against Oscar Grant as he lay face down on the platform and then followed through with shooting him, putting all that aside, it was no accident when Tony Peroni gave the order to send hundreds of witnesses away from the scene, denying investigators key testimony into what happened on the platform that night. It was no accident when not a single police officer called for help or bothered to notify a supervisor, very well contributing to the death of Oscar Grant by denying urgently needed medical care. Those were, beyond doubt, no accidents. Every police officer on the platform that night is an accessory in the death of Oscar Grant, either by physically escalating the situation before the shooting or by doing nothing after the shooting. Marisol Domenici was more interested in illegally confiscating passengers' cell phones and video cameras than she was in assisting Oscar Grant as he bled to death. In no way did they respond to the shooting as if it were an accident. In an accident, normal people respond by seeking aid for the injured. These officers did everything but. And then how can BART claim that the murder of Oscar Grant was some sort of random accident while also saying that these well-armed officers were acting aggressively, justifiably, because they were afraid of being beaten and bruised by Oscar Grant? It all reeks of defensive posturing by the BART police, of attempts to cover up the shooting. Chief Gee and Dorothy Duggar likewise have not acted as if it was a tragic accident, as they've clearly been interested in feigning ignorance of atrocious behavior and unreasonably attempting to justify and vindicate every last officer, showing zero interest in faulting any action that night in any way. I want to conclude by reading a passage from a book called Our Enemies in Blue by Christian Williams. Policing, it seems, is the only industry that both exaggerates and advertises its dangers. It has done so at a high cost and to a great advantage, though the costs are not borne by the same people who reap the benefits. The overblown image of police heroism and the obsession with officer safety do not only serve to justify police violence after the fact, by providing such justification, they legitimize violence and thus make it more likely in the future. The exaggerated sense of danger has helped reorder police priorities to the detriment of public interest. The police ought to understand that they are being paid to take a certain degree of risk, and that their safety does not come before public safety or the common good. Unfortunately, the police typically place their own safety first, and in recent years, we have all come to accept this priority. By way of counterpoint, consider the performance of the U.S. Marshals deployed to protect James Meredith during his September 1962 entrance into the University of Mississippi. 200 marshals faced off with 2,000 white people determined to prevent the school's integration. The marshals stood for hours while the crowd attacked them with bricks and sporadic sniper fire. 29 marshals were injured, but they never broke ranks nor fired their weapons. Recalling this episode, consider how little we've come to expect of police and how greatly we have come to share their obsession with their own safety. Until the BART board begins to take affirmative actions to hold bad actors accountable in real ways, to show more respect for the communities it serves by welcoming input on all important decisions, rather than throwing up defensive wall after defensive wall, we will continue to see more Gerald Halls. We will continue to see more Bruce Sewards, and we'll continue to see more Oscar Grants. Now is the time for the BART board to stand up and show more humanity than the police officers on the platform did on January 1st. Thank you.
Thank you.
President Blaylock. President Blaylock, I'm sorry, you can't see me.
I'm sorry, yes.
Dorothy Duggar. I just wanted to clarify one point that has been made in a couple of statements about the medical response to the shooting. I think it's important for that information to be corrected. In less than a moment, a code 3 ambulance call, the highest emergency code possible, was placed, and an officer, BART police officer from the platform, immediately ran down to his police vehicle to get a gunshot compression kit, which every officer's police car carries in the event of an officer shooting, brought that up to apply to Mr. Grant. No CPR was... I think people have commented they saw no CPR in the video. That was not the medical response, as I understand it, that was required. It was the gunshot compression kit that was attempted to be applied, and just wanted to provide that information for
clarity. All right. Thank you.
I have a question for you. Since you comment on medical response, where did you get your information from? Were you there on a scene?
That is the information.
No, no, no.
In the
where did you get your information from? Where did you get your information? At this point, we're not going by any information that any board is giving us, because even the attorney that is representing you is full of BS. What's this? I mean, where did you get that from? No answer. I thought so.
You know, as a medical doctor, let me respond. Thank you for your comment. The suggestion that a gunshot wound to the back does not require CPR is absolutely incorrect. As a first responder, a medical doctor trained for 3 years in general surgery, 3 years in internal medicine, 31 years practicing medicine, I can tell you that the first thing they were supposed to do, given the fact that they are law enforcement officers who are trained in first responder behavior, the first thing they were supposed to do was check his pulse. And then they were supposed to see if he was breathing. And then they were supposed to turn him over and begin CPR. They did nothing. They grabbed his shirt. They kicked his body and moved it, nudged it out of the way. They treated him as if he was already dead. They did not do what they were supposed to do. Okay. And we do need to be clear on where you're getting your information, because it's easy for you to say the things that sound good, but if you can't back it up, it doesn't help us. It helps you. And so that equals self-serving, potentially self-serving comments. And we're trying to move to a place of justice. And justice does not allow you to
say things that help you when we're still looking for truth. So now, I want to also say to you, and then I'm going to leave because I got to go to the hospital. Did you investigate the fact that there was an affair going on between Officer Peroni and Officer Domenici?
Thank you.
Has that been investigated? And have you acted appropriately to deal with it? And I will accept a lawsuit for slander for having said it if it's not true. But have you investigated it? Have you investigated it?
There is, as I think we've discussed quite publicly, a internal affairs investigation that is currently underway that is looking at all aspects of BART policy and procedures. It is an internal affairs investigation. It is focused on the behavior of the officers in a disciplinary context, and that investigation has not been completed yet. I have not received any results of that.
Thank you. We are going to be looking for a report on that because their conduct was dubious. And if there is a conflict of interest between officers who are having affairs and they are looking out for each other at a heightened sense of protectionism because, oh, my lady was touched or someone approached my lady and they're not behaving professionally because there is no relationship between them that's intimate, that needs to be put on the table and it needs to be part of your deliberation. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate what you just said, Dorothy, because what you just told us is that there is an investigation that's ongoing, correct? Ongoing into the actions of the officers on the platform. And you also commissioned a separate investigation that's a private, supposedly independent investigation with Myers Nave investigating the
same
thing.
That is the investigation I was referring to. The
okay.
independent internal affairs investigation
Excellent.
Underway by Myers Nave.
Great. And so it's very interesting that you are simultaneously investigating whether anybody on the platform did any wrong and directing your lawyer to make legal filings claiming that nobody did anything wrong. Do you see a conflict there? And how will you resolve that conflict?
The schedule and procedures of the federal court require that an answer to the civil lawsuit be filed within a certain time frame. That time frame expired with the filing, we responded with our answer in that time frame. The answers that were provided in response to the lawsuit were based on the evidence that is available to us at this time.
Right. That evidence, which is in the police reports, which may not be honest. I'll remind you what she just told you about the ambulance. Very interesting because when I turned on the news, I noticed that KTVU managed to catch the paramedics as they arrived. Now, what that tells me is that KTVU responded to that shooting faster than any paramedic or first responder. So you tell me what the priority was. How did KTVU learn of it, and how did they get there before the paramedics? And if this was really a tragic accident, if a BART officer had been struck by a train, do you think that the paramedics would arrive after KTVU? So you have a real problem here. You have a problem with transparency and openness in how you're dealing with this situation. And we know there is... You are going behind the scenes to talk to Assemblymember Yee and Amiano and asking them to make their police review legislation nonspecific so that you can determine what the content of that review will actually look like when it is mandated. And that brings up the question of what's the process for shaping any review of your police department, of any investigation for your department. And you're really trying to maintain control of this. You're not having open meetings. You're not having public comment that's accessible. You're picking people who you claim, adequately represent the community, to meet with individually, to meet within forums where you outnumber them. And that's just not the right way for a public organization such as BART to go about things. You promised, and I'm going to repeat this because we're going to make a specific demand. You promised us a public meeting in January. Every one of you reaffirmed your commitment in February to an open process. And while it's good that you have a scope of work out for a review of your police department top to bottom, it's your job and it's the law and it's good practice at the front end of this process to let the public comment, to hear from the public. It's, you know, you want them to weigh in at the front end. You want us to weigh in at the front end so that you can consider that input when you formulate your next steps. And that goes for all of the topics that are being investigated. I mean, all the topics you're curious about. Do you need a police department? How does that police department behave in practice? What's the culture of that police department? The public has experience with your police department. The public has an opinion. And your job, because technically you represent us, your job is to hear from us and incorporate our needs and our wishes into those actions. So we're actually here with a very specific demand for all of you today. We want you to commit to following through on a promise you made to us. It's not a new promise. We want you to hold a public meeting in the community, a public forum that's dedicated to the policies, practices, accountability, civilian oversight of the BART Police Department, and that will allow the public to comment and ask questions on the New Year's Day shooting of Oscar Grant III. And we will expect answers. So what I have here for each one of you is a pledge. It's a very simple pledge. Now, I want you to look carefully at this. What we're asking you to do is to book a space in East Oakland with a capacity of around 200, arrange for outreach to the community, be present at that meeting, and available for questions and answer questions. Have the general manager there and ask Chief G to be there as well. And record that meeting and make it publicly available. And we're proposing, that's why there's a line there, we're proposing the afternoon of a Saturday, the last Saturday in April. We think that's plenty of time. We think that will have been almost 5 months since Oscar Grant was murdered. And almost 4 months, or more than 4 months, since you made your initial promises to engage in a process that included public meetings that were accessible, that were dedicated to the issue, and that were in the community, where you were coming to us the way that it's supposed to be. So we'd like you to look that over. And you can hear from a few more speakers while you do that. But we do expect you to take a moment while we're here to commit to us to a date and to a time. And the reason we have to do this is because we waited for 4 months. And you didn't schedule this on your own. So we're here calling you in. You know, we're calling up, you know, we're calling you out. We're asking you to make good on your promise. And we don't want to leave. We're not going to leave until you do. Because you had 4 months. That's a long time. That's 8 meetings. So if you can commit to a public meeting on, I think it's April 25th,
well, I'm booked on April 25th, but...
Well, do you propose an alternative Saturday? How about the next Saturday?
I don't think I want to get in this dialogue. I'll work with the board and see how to proceed. We do have a committee that's been meeting.
Well, actually, it has been meeting where?
Director Ward Allen?
Have you announced publicly a meeting that is a police review board meeting specifically that is accessible to the public?
How many? We,
today, this is a police review board meeting?
Yeah.
That's not a meeting, Mr. Franklin. You know that. That gives people 3 minutes to comment on your 5-minute presentation of updates of what you've done. You know that. I mean, you don't have to play with us.
We had our first public meeting on Sunday, January 11th, I recall, at MTC, that we auditorium that had been announced in the board meeting prior to that of January 8th. It was not advertised.
We actually have several things coming up, including a meeting that is set forth within about the next month. We just have to confirm the room. We've actually been working on all of this. We have an oversight committee that Radulovich has been working on, and we have a list of all the meetings we have been doing. Everything that you're talking about right now is an action and an emotion. And
is it on a weekend?
Yes, we are setting up evening meetings as well as daytime meetings.
How are these going to be publicized?
Right now, most of our activities are on the website right now.
We need, you know, the community of Oakland does not regularly visit the BART website to check up on a meeting that was promised 4 months ago.
We have stuff on video on there.
It really won't take a whole great deal of effort for you to commit.
Whatever I tell you, you don't want to hear it.
No, so I do. I do want to hear it.
All I want to tell you is that we have it on the website. We've been putting stuff in the newspaper. We have papers on the back that have have you put those out yet? Okay. They're out there now on a list of all of our meetings. Okay.
I need to say something.
Yes.
We all here on this side have integrity. Some have degrees and some don't, but we do have integrity. We have not disrespect now each and every one of you sitting in your plush seats. For you to use a tone of voice, I understand you're frustrated.
You know what?
Let me finish. Let me finish. That's disrespect. That's disrespect, ma'am. You're older than me.
Much older, probably.
Yes, you are. So therefore, you should have wisdom enough.
But you had
to know how to use your tone when you're addressing someone on this side. We are respecting each and every one of you. We're not disrespecting you. We're not using foul language, and we're not using tones direct. I understand your frustration as an African-American female. I'm going to be blunt with you. And I'm quite sure you have seen racism for a long time. But now you done got hired by a corporation that gave you a job as an African female, that our ancestors have ran a race to put you in the position that you're in.
Could I say something?
Okay. Now, what I'm saying to you is that when this gentleman is asking you a question, two people can't talk.
African Americans.
Okay, but no. You know when you go home, sis.
Stuff that you don't ever see that we are working daily for you.
When you go home,
you
look in the mirror.
Background, and you don't know what I do on a daily basis.
You know what? I do know what you do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Because I could tell your frustration. You haven't lost Oscar Grant. You have not lost a child to a bullet.
No, but I have been
shot. So you cannot tell me.
I was almost murdered myself. So
But guess what? Almost ain't good enough. Oscar Grant was murdered.
I'm with you, and you don't even understand that.
But what I'm saying to you.
I'm with you.
What I'm saying to you is when this gentleman is speaking, you don't have to move your neck. We know you got soul up in you. But you just talk to him and answer his questions appropriately.
Christoph,
that's wrong. It's disrespectful.
If I can just say this, look, you know, the group that's here is willing to work with you. We're even willing to get you a venue in the public. You know, we'll work with you. Dorothy Duggar can authorize expenditures of up to $100,000. She authorized that Myers-Nave investigation, for better or worse. She can authorize $1,000 or $2,000
to pay people to put up flyers in Oakland and advertise a meeting. That's how people find out about things. She can ask station agents to post a notice at the BART station. That's very easy to do. That actually will cost 10 cents per notice. Well, you just have to make the copy. You know, there's very simple things. When an organization actually wants to publicize something, it does a very good job. You do a very good job of advertising BART on BART. I've seen the ads. They're good. You do a good job of that. You know, you do a good job of making press releases. We saw Lytton Johnson makes public appearances and gets interviewed left and right. You can have Lytton Johnson release a press release saying you're going to have a public meeting. You certainly made a fuss about everything else in this case. So it's not going to be hard for you to work, and frankly with us, because we'll be advertising the meeting as well, it's not going to be hard for you to advertise a meeting in which you'll get a whole lot of input from the public. And, you know, hopefully you agree with us that that input is going to be useful to you. Hopefully you agree with us that that's something that you want to hear at the outset of this process. Let's let the board. You want a moment? Does this board want a moment to talk about actually scheduling this meeting?
She doesn't want money. She just wants justice.
I want justice, but I do want a public meeting.
I understand that. I understand. I just want to make sure I know what you're saying.
I do not want money, but I want a public meeting. I want what he's asking. What he's asking, the public is agreeing with it as well as the family.
Know what you want, that's all.
Let me ask Director Keller if you want to make a comment.
Go ahead.
Let me say, I don't disagree with your comments about how we should advertise. We were talking when you were saying about how we weren't going to get the public to know, and there was some response, I don't remember from you or someone else, that the Internet is not the most effective way in your community. So if you can just write up some ideas about when we get to the point where we are going to have these public meetings, if you can put those ideas, get them to me or any member of the board, we'll act on them, as many of them as possible. I don't have any problems of BART printing up some flyers, turning them over to your group, and you circulate them. I don't have any
Keller,
problems.
Mr. Keller, there are ideas on the sheet in front of you.
Yeah, no, I read it. I did read it.
There are two things going on here. We're willing to help advertise, and we're willing to give you all these ideas. The issue at hand is not just whether we're going to collaborate, it's the time of the meeting. We want a commitment. We want a date and a time. That's the problem, because there hasn't been a date and a time for 4 months.
I understand that. I don't know that we're prepared today to do, but we have discussed as part of our committee of having public meetings both in Oakland, San Francisco, and in Contra Costa County, because those are the communities that we represent. We've talked about having meetings on the weekends and in the evening, so everyone who wants to be available can be available. I acknowledge your ideas about how to publicize those meetings as good ones, and we can work cooperatively with that. Our thought was it would be better to wait until we hire this committee or this organization to do a top-to-bottom review, so they can also be present to hear your concerns so that we don't have to redo it and redo it. We're serious about wanting to make changes if changes are appropriate. So we thought it was appropriate. You can say maybe we should have looked at it a different way. But at least the thought process, and hopefully you can understand and respect what we were thinking about, was we want to hire the firm, have them sit in on the meetings when you all talk to us, not only the board and staff, but also this consulting firm, so that if there are good ideas, if there are appropriate ideas, they can be built into the final product that we hope to put forward in the next several months. It's taken longer than I would like. I've been, as others on the committee, have been interested in proceeding as quickly as possible. I'm not going to defend the time schedule, but there were reasons, some of which were brought to us by the community, for transparency and openness. Those are words that I support, but what they do, in fact, is slow down the process, because we have to make sure that everybody has a look at the scope of work and comment before we go forward. I'm not defending that, but that is the reality. that every time we have to add an additional step.
Mr. Keller.
Then let me finish and I'll be quiet. I promise. And I'll give you your chance to respond. We're not at odds on this. We will have those community meetings. I've been calling for them. Director Sweet, Director Radulovich, Director Ward Allen. All of us want to have the meetings and have your input. We would far rather do that than have you come to our meeting, take time out of your lives and not allow us to get to the point where we do our business. We want to hear from you. We will take the time to hear from you. And I've been gone for 2 weeks. I apologize, but I've been out of the area. But when I left, we were on schedule. I think hopefully still on schedule to look at a hiring somebody at the next board meeting. I don't know if that's realistic or not. Yeah. But if we can get somebody hired by the next board meeting, which would be the 23rd, sometime after that, we can start a series of community meetings. And with your input, we'll get lots of community people there to talk to us. And then we can hear what you want us to hear, and we can put together something that makes sense. And I'm going to be quiet and turn it back over to you.
May I just make one comment?
I had something to say in response. No, that's okay. I appreciate that you have the intention of having these meetings, but again, if you have the intention of having these meetings, what is the holdup? You promised us this meeting well before there was even a rumbling of a comprehensive review investigation of the BART Police Department. The meeting is not a prerequisite for that review, and the review is not a prerequisite for that meeting. You can have as many meetings as you want. And certainly, a couple of hundreds of dollars of publicity would buy you a whole lot of goodwill if you'd done it 4 months ago. You know, so if the will is there, we're quite aware that you're able to move on this, and there is no reason you can't have two meetings. And as we've asked, we want these meetings recorded. So there's absolutely no reason why what transpires at these meetings can't be provided to any investigator. I'm not sure what their personal physical presence there, why their personal physical presence is necessary. They're investigators. They can get their information on video. They can get their information in reports. I mean, the people that need to express opinions and the people that need to express PACs at these meetings are yourselves and us. And we're available. And the question is, you haven't been available for 4 months, and we feel a particular sense of urgency that you make yourselves available to the public now, without delay. Ms. Ward Allen?
Yes, what I wanted to say to you is, first of all, please don't take my expressions as meaning I don't care, because I care very passionately about all of this. I think we all do. I can at least speak for myself. We've put in a lot of work to try to make this right. We want it fast, but we want it right before we want it fast. We want to make sure that when we give you the answers, that we're giving you the right answers. We're giving you our heartfelt answers. And we want you to know that we've been working very, very hard on this.
Good.
Okay. What happens is, please understand that when you're working in BART, you're working a large amount of things that you're trying to put into order, along with this, which is extremely important. And I want you to know that we have a committee that I can tell you that is stellar, in the sense that we tried meeting on to make sure that we had internal review as we had promised you. We wanted to make sure that we have police oversight as we have promised you. We have met with many, many community organizations as we had promised you. And what we have tried to do, and I hope that you get an opportunity to see it on the back, is to put them into categories, and also the many meetings that we have. We have also gone to outside groups to make sure that we met with them. People have called on us and said, can you come and speak to us? And our purpose is to try to do it all. Maybe we're so involved in it that we want to do it all. We maybe haven't done it as fast, and we criticize ourselves on that. We are in the process of doing the oversight committee, and we also have some dates set up. We've contacted various churches, and we also intend to use our own boardroom to have the community meeting. So we want to make this room available if a church or someplace else in your community is not available. But some of the places that I have personally asked about, I'm waiting for their response. And so that's what is taking up the time.
Ms. Ward Allen, we have a 300 person capacity space that's available on Saturday the 25th.
And I
appreciate one of your board members might not need to be there.
Okay.
It's in Oakland. It's in East Oakland. It's on High Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
I'll be glad to meet with you on that so that we can maybe set that up.
I want to ask a question mm-hmm. here. Anybody in this room who's met with the board on the matter of the BART police, please raise your hand. I've got one hand. Maybe two.
Well, let me finish.
So I mean, you get the point there.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in the room that thinks they have information that BART needs to consider, please raise your hand. That's what you get at the public meeting, and if this is like, maybe this is just a perspective thing. Maybe it's a maybe it would be a complete ground shift for BART to change how it operates, but we are not asking you for answers. This isn't about us waiting for you to deliver the truth to us. We're supposed to be partners in this process. You represent us, and you need to hear from us because some of those answers actually come from us. So this isn't about you getting your acts together so that you can deliver the truth from on high down to us. There's people out here that have experience with the BART police, that have stories to tell you that will change the way you think about your police force. There's people out here that have information.
Oh, hey!
Oh, my God.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Oh.
He punched him.
I knew that
okay.
would happen.
Oh, don't hurt him. Give me a...
Keep that on tape.
It's back. People, back up. People, can you back
clear
up?
Clear away, please.
Back up, please.
Back up and clear away from the area. Let's clear away from the area.
Officer, he's okay now. He's okay.
Let's have a... The board will go into recess.
You see this? See, this is the type of shit you don't need.
This means that's long overdue. I knew that would happen.
But there's real blood on the ground! But there's real blood!
Bart has blood on their hands.
Police have blood on their hands.
Can we get a camera crew to follow them?
He just had a little. Hey, I'm here because I think BART does have a good police force. I think they do what police are hired in this country to do. The police are not here to protect and to serve. They're here to keep the people down. There's a nationwide epidemic of police brutality going on. And more than one person is killed in this country every day. Yet in the past 15 years, only 6 officers have even been charged with murder. In this case, In this case, we saw it on video from three different angles. Do you know when people started taking cell phone video? It's when they saw Michael Greer grabbed by his hair and slammed down on the pavement, the first act of brutality that day. Do you know that BART police are supposed to question their police officers? Yes, they can take the Fifth Amendment, but they can take the Miranda. They can give them Miranda, but they have to admonish them as to lie barker. This was never done. Do you know that there was an official BART news conference the day that Oscar was killed? BART said there was a brawl on BART. There was no brawl, and I'll get into that later.
We'll be reopening in a few minutes. If everyone could please step out the back door.
Please take your seats, everyone. We're not going to have any speakers this afternoon other than the one I call on. Everyone sit down, please.
Two speakers from the public.
Sit down, please. I'm calling two people that I have names, and I will call them, and then we will go on into closed session. So is everyone in from everyone that wants to come in is in? All right. I just want to announce this one time. The board is in recess, and I came out to simply explain that we're going to hear from Diana M. and Dr. Tosco for 3 minutes, and then we're going to adjourn to a closed session. So, Diana M., please, and Dr. Tosco.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to address those in the audience. Many of you are still here because you are supporters of the Movement for Justice for Oscar Grant. What occurred here today was not anything that any of us planned. We did not plan for it. We did not anticipate it, and we decry it. And I'm going to ask that each of you support what I'm about to say. We need to disassemble today. Cool our jets, cool our emotions, regroup, and revisit the board with the same organized and peaceful passion that we came here with as a group. Thank you. And what I have to say to the board that is still here, first of all, we want to apologize to anyone on the board who was injured or in any way injured by this action. Be very clear that this group, Organized for Justice for Oscar Grant, did not come here with a strategy that included this. We are seeking peaceful approach with integrity that is as calm and as respectful as is possible so that we can get justice for Oscar Grant and those young men who are on the platform and for the community that remains in mourning and remains worried about the situation with BART and BART's police officers. So I am going to offer an apology, and we are going to pray for this young man who lost his composure. I understand that the officers and many of us gathered saw him escalating. He was pacing back and forth, and he was getting more and more upset. I want to say to you as a medical doctor that when I saw it, I nudged one of the officers and suggested this might be a problem. These are part of the circumstances that we know your officers face every day. And the approach to it is difficult. And we are glad that you did not shoot this man. We are glad that you did not beat this man. But we want you to be aware of the fact that in the case of Oscar Grant, he didn't even do that. He was perfectly innocent. So we understand that you need to go into closed session, but we expect to return and revisit everything that was on the agenda before that unfortunate act took place.
Thank you.
And I do believe that we have the full support of the Oscar Grant family.
Thank you. Diana M.
What just took place is unacceptable from our family. I can't apologize because I'm not the individual that did the act. But we are a family that we have love and we have integrity. And even in the midst of our grieving and losing Oscar Grant, yes, we're grieving. But what I just witnessed here, you board members are human beings too. And if whoever it is that needs to address this matter for your safety as well as the public safety, they need to look into having a better way of making sure that all of our safety is safe to come to these board meetings, because there is a lot of rage out here. I don't know who did what. I just know I went in a circle, and I just seen the officer go around me and just say accidentally if one of us would have got injured in the midst of this. So I don't know what the plan for the future is for security for all of us that are attending these meetings. It's important to discuss this matter amongst yourself and amongst whoever is in higher authority to give security to the public as well as the staff. And on the family's behalf, we say once again, please, let's do this peacefully and prayerful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And as we look forward to the other meetings, we will also look into the security. No, you're through. The board will now enter into closed session under items 8A and 8B of the regular meeting agenda.